study.
All right, hi everybody, welcome. Thanks for coming. Bill, thank you. That's actually helpful. So I've watched enough Shark Week to know that the west coast of Africa has some dangerous sharky waters. And this was going through my mind as I was in Cameroon and I was teaching my friend Gladys how to swim. And the scene had taken a horrific turn when she got in over her head and I lost her in the water. And it was made worse because the water is very dark, it's washing over black sand, and it was obscuring her complexion. I couldn't find her. When I finally did bring her to the surface, I realized in terror that she was missing a part of her. So, as the intro said, I was in Cameroon for, I was going to meet Drs. Tom and Edie Welty and Paul Christensen there, and we were working on a health crisis. So Chinese motorcycles had flooded the country, become a very cheap and accessible form of transportation, also very dangerous. Tom and Edie had been on several really bloody motorcycle wrecks, and they invited Paul and I to come over, use their network of health services vehicles to create a rudimentary ambulance service. And I was there to train and equip these drivers. So I got the sense of the personality of Cameroonians when I got out of the airport. They had Bible passages and like funny pop culture slogans painted on their cars. My favorite was John 3:16 and Boy Lady Gaga. And then there was the clothing. Like, so many women wearing FBI t-shirts, you'd think there was some kind of academy there until you turned around and it said female body inspector. I had an instructor trainee that came to help me teach a class. Then he shows up all proud in his blazer with this new t-shirt, chrome letters that says world's greatest mom. I'm like, what is happening? So what that pointed out to me was that they're just genuine people. They love what they have. They're so true and warm and friendly, and they are completely without agenda. So the area that we are in seldom sees white people. Caucasians are rare, but they are there. I felt like the first one. But I'm walking down the street, and people would yell to get my attention. They'd yell, white, white, and then they'd wait. And I know it was welcoming, but I felt really uncomfortable, and my discomfort actually took a dramatic turn one day after class when a man about my age came out walking next to me on campus. He reached down and he grabs my hand. And we're walking along, and I'm like, a little awkward, but when in Mutengeni, right? So after about 40 sweaty feet, I pulled my hand away, feigning a gesture, and he grabs my hand, like scowling at me, and keeps walking purposefully. So after minutes of holding hands with this stranger, I pulled my hand away and said, nice talking to you. Pretty much ran to my room, and I was super uncomfortable. So usually I'm a pretty confident person. I've been accused of being attention-seeking. But I realized that I had some shaky confidence levels that day when the man was holding my hand, and it came to a high tide during this horrific beach experience with Gladys. So Tom and Edie were taking us to this beach resort, and we invited Gladys, our kitchen manager. So she's a humble, charming woman, sturdily African, built on a diet of labor and fried fish and corn dough called fufu, and she shows up super excited to go. Colorful dress, covering a brand new bikini with a matching head cap, and we get to the beach, and nobody really paid us much of a passing glance. I was surprised. I go running into the ocean, and I did something magical. I swam, and I ran out in these breakers, and I caught a few really good body surf rides, like just tearing down the face, and I turn around and look at the beach, and a crowd had gathered. They were gasping and clapping and pointing at me and cheering. And it was like I was walking on water and I was a complete spectacle. Cameroonians don't swim. So I walk towards the beach and Gladys comes running out in her new suit. She grabs me by the hands with a big African smile. Freddie, can you teach me how to swim? And I said, sure. So with all trust, she lets me take her out into about chest deep water. I'm a little uncomfortable at the physical contact that's going to have to happen here, but I'm like, I'll teach her to float on her back. That's a good survival skill. So I said, Gladys, lay across my arms on your back. Take a deep breath, fill your chest, hold your breath, and float. I lowered my arms, and she sank like an anchor. brought her back out of the water. Hat comes off. She's sputtering. Where did my hat? And the wave had washed her swim cap away, her custom swim cap. That's about when the lesson ended. I said, okay, try it again. Stretch out across my arms and try to float. That's when it hit us. Things got serious. A big wave broke over my head, and I could feel the weight of Gladys vanish. I dive under the swell, and I start groping around, and I finally get to her, panic-stricken, and I raise her up, cradled in my arms. And when my eyes open, I saw two of the scariest shapes come out of the ocean surface that a man could ever see at a crowded beach. You guessed it. Boobs.
Gladys's top had washed to her waist. I can't do anything except close my eyes and whisper yell as her corn fifi-fed breasts are inches from my mouth. I'm like, Gladys, your top. And she's like, what, Freddy? I said, Gladys, your boobs. I can't just smash my hands down over her boobs. And I can't let her go because she drowned. Then I'd be charged with battery and murder. She gets wise and pulls her top up. And just the wardrobe malfunction doesn't even cause a passing thought with her. She's just so in the moment. And she said, can we do it again? And I said, I'm horrified. The whole beach is watching. I'm like, sure, but let's just go closer and work on doggy paddling. So about a week later, I was having lunch with Pius, our director of health services, and I was telling Pius about the guy in the hand-holding incident, and he just laughed at me. He's like, Freddie, this is a great sign of respect in Cameroon. Many men hold hands. And Pius had just come back from the U.S., and I said, Pius, would you ever want to live in the United States? And he said, no, I love the United States. It's beautiful. But the people are too dishonest. He said, they're always keeping up appearances. And here we talk honestly and we can solve problems. And I think about that conversation and I think about Gladys often. And I just think, you know, if we were more comfortable to just bare our chests, be honest with each other, maybe we could solve more problems.